10, 9. Ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
That's one small step for man, one giant hop for out here having a pint.
Craft beer nerds, welcome to Out Here Having a Pint. I'm your host, Kevin. Everybody calls me Pup Dog. How are you doing today? This is a very special episode, and I know Brandon can't wait. Pop that can, Brandon. Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
that is awesome.
Sexy.
Indeed.
Ooh, yeah.
It is sexy. All right. So, to my right, Brandon, assistant brewer at Cedar Creek and part of the Out Here Having a Pint podcast. Brandon, how you doing today?
I am about to be much better after this beer.
Oh, yeah. We got some great beers today, and I can't wait to try these things. I'm excited. So we are, I can't tell you the location, so that's Kelsey's part. We do have Kelsey in the house. Kelsey, how you doing?
I'm good.
All right. Kelsey, where are we at?
We're at home.
Oh, we're at home? Home base?
Yep.
Home? Where? So we are
in here having a pint.
We are in here having a pint, yeah.
I am not disclosing my location because there's weird-ass people out there.
Well, we are at our own house.
This is Casa del Groover.
Yeah.
That's where this is.
Exactly. And speaking on the microphone, to my left, we do have Michael in the house. How you doing, Michael?
I am fantastic. Woo! Mr. Groover.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
the sultry tones of Michael Corey, owner of Mike's Tiny Shop, which is a costuming and prop making shop in Martinsville, Indiana.
Not only that, but why are we here all together?
Because today is my 40th. Well, tomorrow is my 40th birthday, but today we're celebrating my 40th birthday. So, in celebration, we're drinking 40 beers, all of us combined.
All of us 40, 40, 40.
We're doing 44. Sunday.
Yeah, you are.
Too much, honey.
I apologize for the ears.
Really, what he meant to say is we're playing Edward 40 hands.
We're playing Edward 40 hands later.
We're playing
Edward 40 hands now.
You ask a bunch of people that's been drinking beer again on a podcast.
This is true. Hopefully this goes smooth. Okay. In the house, Michael's wife, Erica's in the house. Erica, how's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty fantastic day so far.
Yes. Oh, so let me tell the listeners what we've done so far. So Kelsey set up all day. She did a fantastic job of decorating our house with happy 40th birthday. When I woke up, I was like, oh, yes, I'm 40 again. But then I said, oh, that's not for me.
No, so, your 40 was a long time ago.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, how many 40s are we counting back?
At least 12.
Not six. Six grandchildren now. That's six. I mean,
well, we're halfway there.
Or was it five? I don't remember.
I keep having, you know, women mail me things in the mail saying that
retired Americans. Your social security is here.
They're saying that. I am your child, and I am now 20 years old, and I don't want anything, but I just want to meet you.
It's really why he hates Father's Day. He never knows who's going to call.
That is a joke, by the way. I'm actually joking.
Is it really?
It's a joke.
Really, what he's getting in the mail is AARP.
If it was Ohio, he'd be getting that golden Buckeye card right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so, I woke up. Everything was decorated. She did a fantastic job. And, we did Michael's 40th birthday here.
Full stop. You guys really did a number on your house, like your own house for my birthday, which was fantastic. And I've really not had anybody do that for my birthday. So thank you very much.
No problem.
Well, we love you, and we would do it again.
I love you,
day.
Too. And you guys are easily in the top 10 of my favorite people. Actually, you're in the top 6 of my favorite people. Top 4, actually. Yeah, because it's Brandon, Bree, and you guys.
Getting better. Give him more beer. We'll be in the top 2.
No. Well, he'll never supplant Brandon.
That's the plan.
Not that guy.
Hey.
Tom.
What about me?
I'm not gonna talk about that. Don't you worry.
Now,
poor Erica. She doesn't make the top 10.
What about me?
Well, you're just there. You're my wife. You're just at the top. That's the end.
Okay.
Of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, she's on. Never mind.
Saved. See that? That was saved. Yeah. That was smooth.
Yeah, so we did out in the backyard. We did play some
throw burrito,
which is like a thing that you basically it's like you get cards
from the makers of Exploding Kittens. Brings you throwing burritos,
inflatable burritos.
We just throw
they're about the size of Kevin.
Yeah, they are about the size of Kevin. Actually,
I mean it's kind of like a combination between dodgeball and match'em.
Yeah, actually, it is really close to that.
That's a good analogy.
Spoons is a really good analogy.
Yeah,
except that if you threw the spoons at each other.
Yeah.
But it's not like knifey spoony. No. That's different.
That's a different game. I've seen you play that before.
Yeah. And apparently you're not supposed to inflate them with your own air out of your own lungs.
What are you supposed to inflate them with?
With a pump. But I mean, you can.
If it's not from your lungs, where else are you going to get air from?
I use my lungs.
Her powerful lungs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mighty lungs.
She has to talk over Kevin. She's used to it.
Yeah. So
everyone talks over Kevin. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You got to remember, I'm the host of the podcast now. Nobody talks over me. I'm driving this thing
that's
now.
Not
come
what
on
I was
now.
Referring to,
that's why I'm afraid okay this. I'm afraid this podcast is going to get so ugly because we've already have what 5-6 beers already,
something
guys.
Like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We just emptied one, I believe.
Also, as the host of the podcast, you're supposed to let the guests do most of it.
That is very true because nobody wants to hear me talk. No. But we did play throw burrito. I did like that game. You know, it's an awesome game. Yeah, it's an outside game. So very nice. But so let's get into it. So here's what I'm going to delve into a little bit of what Mike has been doing. He does run Mike's Tiny Shop, which does props and everything like that. I'm not the expert. He's going to talk. Mike, how's the shop doing? Tell us what's going on so far.
The shop is doing extremely well. As Kevin introduced there, I am the owner of Mike's Tiny Shop, which is a prop and costume shop in Martinsville, Indiana. I make film props and cosplay related things, 3D printing, laser cutting, custom made stuff. As of late, I've managed to get my hands on some very, very hard to find parts for building, for instance, the motion tracker from 1978's Alien, the original parts for making it, as well as one of the few remaining casting models of the Mangalore rifle from The Fifth Element from 1997, the Bruce Willis film.
Phyllis?
Bruce Willis, yeah.
It's a stunt double.
Yeah, it's a stunt double. My good friend Greg down in Southern Indiana, he was a big-time prop collector for a long time, had the original molds from production, and I got one of the castings off of those molds, so I'm going to be able to make duplicates of it. There's no one making them, and being able to get involved in that is fantastic. And most recently, I built a one-off filming model of a spaceship that the authors of The Expanse really liked, and it looks like it might become something from that. I can't really talk about a whole lot of it because of NDAs and stuff, but I do custom prop work and custom costume work, and it's YouTube's taking off, and it's working out pretty well so far for somebody who just started it about a year ago. So
you're also making Short Circuit. I mean, the whole
in concert with Maker Lab in Zionsville, Indiana. My good friend Brian Hull, we're in the preliminary works right now of building a full-size remote-controlled Johnny Five from 1986's Short Circuit, and our intention is to use it at Maker Fairs to gather attention and get little kids and young people involved in the making of robotics and get them interested in RC and making in general. And I'm really excited because a group of makers here in Indiana have shown interest and have joined up in a group with me to get involved with Magic Wheelchair, which is a nonprofit organization that builds costumes for children in wheelchairs. Who I've worked with before, and a fantastic, fantastic organization. It's magicwheelchair.org. And probably next year for con season, because con season is pretty much done this year because everything's been shut down because of COVID, we're going to be building a costume for kid here before too long. And I'm really excited to get back involved with Magic Wheelchair again. So if you're interested in that, please check out magicwheelchair.org. And if you can, get involved. If not, just spread the word.
Do you get a lot of requests, people that come on your Facebook and say, hey, can you make this? Hey, can you make that?
All the time. I actually get, most recently, I got somebody who, I can't say his name, but he's a very well-known prop maker who wants me to make some stuff from Stargate Atlantis. And in trade, which I do more trade than anything else, he's making me a screen-accurate, fully wearable crew jacket from the Nostromo from Aliens from 1978, which it's made from all original parts using a lot of the original materials that were used at the time and patterns based off of the original props from the film. And if you're involved in film props or anything, you know that having that sort of provenance makes a huge difference. And for me, it's very exciting because I've always wanted one of those jackets, but they're very, very hard to get your hands on. So it's a big deal for me.
Erica, you get into prop making a little bit too, don't you?
I have done a little bit of mostly cosplay. Mm-hmm. My most recent one was a Weeping Angel from Doctor Who.
Creepy as shit.
Which looks amazing, though.
Looks fantastic.
It looks but
creepy
fantastic.
As shit.
I love it. It's about 200 laser-cut feathers to make the wings.
Wow.
I posted that to the internet, and I had somebody comment that they threw their phone across the room when they saw it move because it scared the shit out of them.
How long did that one take?
Consecutive work time.
Months total.
Yeah, we didn't actually work on it.
Yeah, it was not.
It was kind of spotty working on it.
Yeah, it was intermittent work. It wasn't spotty. It was really high quality work that you did.
Right.
Because almost all the work was done by Erica, and this is her first solo cosplay. It's not her first cosplay total, but it is her first solo cosplay, which she did almost all the work on. So I'm really quite proud of her for doing it and how it came out. So
I'm excited too. And my next one is going to involve light animatronics. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're tearing apart an animatronic toy dragon, and it's absolutely terrifying in the shop right now because it's just a dragon with no face and its eyes move around so that she can have an animatronic dragon on her shoulder.
So you're saying you need to set it on a motion sensor to scare the shit out of people.
I need to set a motion sensor on my duck bomb so that when people walk in.
Yes.
So if anybody is familiar at all with Adam Savage's Test It, he built this thing called a duck bomb using these things called wacky quackers. They were initially a dog toy, and they've
now
since gone out of production.
Annoyance.
Oh, they're horrifying. They don't make any noise when you squeeze them, like most squeeze toys do. It's when you release them and they pull in air and they make this ungodly scream.
Right.
Well, if you combine, say for instance, and I'm throwing this number out at random, 45, it's not a random number, and you like get them all to go at one time, it is one of the most horrifying sounds in the world.
It is a cacophony of quackery.
It is a cacophony of quackerunnery. Yes. It is horrible, and I managed to get them all to work in concert with one another, which is god-awful, and I just need to set a trip switch to it so that when someone walks into my shop, that's the sound they hear so that they never come back again, because that's what the ultimate goal will be, I suppose.
You said quack, and the first thing I thought of was a bunch of quacks together. Did you know that a bunch of quacks together is called a queef?
Is
oh,
it?
Oh, no.
I'm kidding. It's,
is it
It's
now?
Definitely not. It's definitely
no.
not. I'm just sorry.
I'm going to need a source
not.
On that.
No, yeah.
Bullshitopedia.
Bullshitopedia.
Boo. Yeah, let's go to Urban
Dictionary. Boo this man.
Let's go to Urban Dictionary on that.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Yeah.
But exciting stuff, man.
It's very exciting. I'm looking forward to the future. There's a lot of projects that I have lined up that I'm really looking forward to working on. But the biggest one right now is, of course, Magic Wheelchair and then and Johnny Five. So Johnny Five will be enormous. And I'm actually getting ready to go down to Alabama to work with another prop maker for some other stuff, including a full-size remote control Wall-E from Pixar's Wall-E.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And then next will be Iron Giant.
I'd love to have a full-size Iron Giant, but I don't have the room for him. Yeah. Probably, honestly, actually in concert with while I'm working on Johnny Five, I'm actually going to be starting work on a full-size power loader from 1986's Aliens
for
Erica.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So it'll be, I think, right just under 9 feet tall, and I've sourced a lot of the original parts for it. But she'll be able to, the goal is to have it ready for Dragon Con next year in Atlanta.
That's really creepy.
So that she can, it was a little bit.
That's
it
so excited.
Kind of made me horny.
I'm so excited.
Oh my God.
That makes my burrito inflate.
Bring me skin.
No.
But hopefully for Dragon Con next year, we'll have the full-size power loader ready for her to walk around in, and maybe even my 9-foot-tall Balrog from The Lord of the Rings ready. So I have a lot of projects in the works right now.
Yeah, man.
And we're pretty much super nerds at this point.
Yeah. We've moved beyond nerd stage to super nerd stage. So hopefully, at one point, hopefully this will start making some money and it won't just be an expense, and maybe it'll pay for itself. So
yeah, it sounds pretty exciting.
At least it balances out.
Yeah.
Yep. So where can people find you if they want to be interested in looking at your projects?
If you're interested in looking at my projects on Instagram or Twitter, it's at Mike's Tiny Shop. On Facebook, it's /makes things. And then on YouTube, it's / Mike's Tiny Shop again, and then mikestinyshop.com.
Hell yeah. Guys, go there. It's fantastic, especially if you're remember like the 80s, 90s stuff, man. It's just sci-fi. And
I love 80s and 90s sci-fi. Yep, I absolutely love it. Shit.
Yeah, yep. For sure. All right, we're going to switch over to Brandon. Brandon, what you got beers, man. You bring beers all the time, and I love it.
Oh,
so
yes.
What are we doing? What are we doing for beers?
Well, what I'm drinking right now is Hop Butcher, which is a regional favorite at the moment for mine. Illinois area-based. Just incredible as far as it comes. Kings of New England from the Midwest, as far as I'm concerned. Every release that they do is a different set of hop blends. Everything has the same wonderful, creamy, slightly sweet mouthfeel. And then you're going to pair it with a different hop pairing on each round. So right now I am drinking a deeper dish, which is Citra Vic Secret Triple India Pale Ale at 10.5%. Anyone at the table who's tried it is kind of shocked that it's 10.5% because it definitely does not taste like such. So that is what is in my glass at the second. If you're referring to the other things that I have sitting out here, we are getting ready at Cedar Creek to launch what we call Tributary Series. The Tributary Series is going to be small run, extremely fresh. And small run is an understatement. I mean, we're talking tiny run.
Yeah.
Our first release, one of them is going to be 70-some cans. The other one's 100 cans. But everything's canned on a pro automated canning line, which what's so nice about that is that means that it's going to have low dissolved oxygen. It's going to be shelf-stable for the most part, as long as you keep it refrigerated. And it lets us do some really unique experimental type beers that you can that we can get out into the market that you would normally never see a brewery, especially a brewery of Cedar Creek size, being able to produce and can. So, I mean, if you guys want to crack into those, we can go in there.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's crack into it.
All right. Do we want to start? Do we want to live life short and eat dessert first?
No, let's go in order.
Let's do dessert last. Dessert should always be last, so let's go with your first one. Cedar Creek out in Martinsville. If you guys have never been there, it's a brewery, distillery, and a winery.
And cigars?
Is it still the only one in the state that has three?
It is the only one with all three, plus with the cigars, we're all four. Oh, good. That still has a good canning level.
Explode. Call it a win.
You're not lying. So, no, I'm just cracking open this thing right now. Puff, puff, pass.
So, this is called the Category 7.
Yep, you are violating protocol, sir.
I am. So, Category 7 was our first release. Category 7 is so named. It's based off of the idea and the concept around a Category 7 storm, and it's kind of an inside joke, just because our original New England IPA was a... known as Haystorm. So the joke behind this is that it's at 7 pounds of hops per barrel.
Shit.
So with that in mind, it is a little green still, so it's still going to have a little bit of hop bite to it. But the hops it uses are some of the most rare and desired hops in New England's at the moment. So you're looking at Citra, Ella, Vic Secret, and Galaxy, loaded top to bottom.
Yeah, this is so different than what Cedar Creek has been brewing in the past. This is like really out here on left field because it reminds me of a little bit of Indiana City's beers.
I was going to say, so unlike Haystorm, what we did is we decided to, instead of doing a permutation on the mash bill and just changing a few things, no, we threw it out the window. We will still brew Haystorm. But with Category 7, we had a bunch of leftover hops from experimental runs. We pulled in a brand new mash grist, so it's a lot more wheat forward. The color on this is much more of a traditional New England. It is very, very opaque. Has that lovely orange golden glow to it. And then we just hopped the ever-loving hell out of it. By that, I mean I literally blew the top off my fermenter on the first round of dry hopping. I was about 2 feet away when it went, so my ears were ringing for the rest of that day. But yeah, I was going to say, I'm really excited about how this is in its current state. I think after about a week or two in the can, even more of the greenness will drop out, and it's just going to even be smoother than that. So
yeah, so let's go around the room here really quickly. I'll start off with myself. I think it was green at first, but this settled down quite a bit. It doesn't bite me back, like when you first canned it, which is, that's a good sign. So I think it kind of settled down. The citrus flavors has mellowed out a bit. It could be considered still green, but I like it, man. It's I think it's fantastic, man. You guys, you definitely should amp up your those hops, man. And yeah, because this is very good. Yeah, so I would definitely have a pint of that. Brandon, how'd you think it turned out? Even though you brewed it, so I mean,
And hey, I'm a hardcore critique on my own stuff, so I'm really happy how it turned out. I love the mouthfeel on it. I wish it was a slightly sweeter touch to it. Still, it is still green. I'm gonna say that. Yep. I mean, this was canned at this point less than a week ago, just a few days ago, in fact. So, and it was kegged only a day before that. And this actually uses our new canning system, the Gosling Wild Goose. So it's awesome. We can can off of kegs, which we also will allow eventually customers to contact us ahead of time. And if you want a case of something for your house, you can talk to us about anything we have on draft, and we'll go ahead and can a case for you for your house of anything.
Yeah.
With that being said, I'm really happy on the hop balance. The acid level fell off dramatically from when we first were had it in the keg. When we first put this thing out of the bright tank, this was painful to drink. It just had so much hop in it that the expression hop burn does not begin to cover it. So I'm really happy with where this is falling into. I think about, if I'm going to be very blatant, about another week or two in the can, oh man, this thing's going to sip like orange juice.
Yeah, it's good now though, you know?
Yeah,
when I first tasted it, your face off.
Oh yeah, the aroma on it is incredible.
Yeah.
But it is definitely, you definitely are going to get the Vic Secret very heavily on this note. So it's going to be a lot of that danky, pineapple-y, you know, citrus on the back side of it. It's not citrus forward on the front notes. True. So
you would definitely have a pint.
Oh yes, I'm very happy with this.
Erica, did you try this yet?
Erica, I did. Erica's making cringy faces, and it's perfectly fine, because this is not everyone's cup of tea.
This is why we have it.
Right. I'm not a huge IPA person, so this is definitely not my cup of tea.
All right. No pint for you. Kelsey, what do you think about that?
I really like this. I've kind of been out of that, like, hazy kind of game lately, but this is super drinkable. It doesn't overwhelm me like the rest of the ones do that we go to, like, breweries and have. I could have a pint of this, but I don't know that I would have more than a pint.
Okay, well, you have a pint. Yeah.
I would have a pint.
Yeah, and it's really out there, you know, what Cedar Creek was normally brewing, which I'm excited about. Now they're starting to push in these, you know, other flavors. And, you know, a Switchyard did the same thing. They pushed their brewery talents, I guess. They made a New England IPA that just released today, which is great. So it's good to see a lot of breweries, you know, pushing those limits. Okay, so Michael, what do you think about that?
From what Brandon, the way Brandon talked it up, that it was really, really hop forward, I don't get that when I first drink it. It's not very heavy on the hops like I was expecting it to be. But the citrus is very much on the back end. Mm-hmm. And it is obviously very much a young beer. It really needs, I think, some time. I would probably not drink a pint of it now, but I would be very curious after it gets a little bit of time to drink it again.
Okay.
But as it stands right now, it is drinkable.
Yep.
I don't know that I'd order a pint of it.
Gotcha. All right. So we got two no's and we got three yeses. So technically that is a successful beer.
We'll take a win.
I would take it a win. I mean, it is good. The flavor is good, but I would be more curious to see what it's like after it gets a little age on it.
Oh yeah. I mean, and this is also a nice beer just because it truly changed our views and technique and what are we capable of. So you'll see more stuff. You know, Category 7, I'll be very upfront. I don't think you're going to see Category 7 itself for a little while, but I will definitely be taking, we've taken notes from we changed the grist for this. We changed a lot of our technique for this, and that's going to start moving its way into some of our other beers.
Yeah.
But we're also going to be doing some more of these experimental runs where we're doing, I mean, even the Out Here Having a Pint beer that we brewed, that has some unique technique to it that we pulled in now into our regular brew system and our regular brew runs. So that it's one of the kind of fun parts about running a nano brew system is that you get to have and play with your technique constantly. You're not locked into and beholden of, hey, if I screw this up, I'm going to have to deal with, you know, here's 600 gallons sitting of a screw up. You know, we screw up. It's not good. It's, you know, disappointing, but it's 60 gallons. We can find some fun things to do with that all the same.
Now, quick question for those who don't know, and this is a question for science, Mr. Fry.
Yeah.
When you say Category 7, what are you referring to?
So it's a nerdery thing, and it is technically a non-existent thing. So technically a Category 7 is a reference to a storm, like we were saying. So the original New England we brew at our haze beer we brew out at Cedar Creek is called Haystorm. So we, you know, kind of like a Category 5 hurricane, we are at a Category 7 storm now because this is four times the hops of normal Haystorm. Yeah. But it's also the joke of the reason it's Category 7 is it's 7 pounds per barrel brewed of hops. For reference, Haystorm is right around 3 pounds. Or no, it's a pound and a half per barrel of hops. My. So that's what caused the, well, that's what kind of caused my fermenter to blow the lid. It exceeded the pressure limit and it popped right off top.
I'm really surprised actually by the hop note on this, how much you put into it versus how much you actually taste early on.
And that's a lot of the things we're learning too, is the amount of extraction you get during the brew process. We learned, we played with this. There was probably 2 to 3 months worth of me sitting there and doing research and talking with other brewers and being in conferences with other people and just discussing the New England style and going, hey, and trying to pull in these different notes all the way down to the water profile. We changed everything about this beer. We created a brand new beer, brand new type of brew for us. So from the appearance and the aroma, very, very pleased with how that came out. And as I said, although it's a bit green right now, I'm really, really excited to see how this comes when it's no longer green. So.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very curious to see what this is like with a little bit of time.
Yep. Yeah. So, and it's getting ready to release. We are putting it on draft and in cans tomorrow. So it's, well, it's already in cans, but we're selling those cans tomorrow out at Cedar Creek. So
Will it age properly in those cans?
Yes, it will. And that's actually what's really cool about it. So, unlike a crowler or something where you have extra oxygen exposure, with the kind of technology we now have at Cedar Creek for doing these nano micro can runs where you can can off a keg, you don't have as much dissolved oxygen in it, so it'll age very similar to if it was keg aged.
Nice.
So we are going to see how this goes. We're keeping a few samples back for stability as well, just to also test that and see what it does over time. If we had more time to sit on it, it would have been nice just from a personal preference, but we have already sat on it a couple weeks to get the burn down where it is right now. But yeah, and that's true what it is with a lot of these New England style breweries. You know, Indiana City, talking with some guys who have worked at some of the other huge New England breweries who shall remain nameless. They've even commented that they'll now start letting their stuff sit there and run 6 weeks out before they'll even think about serving it.
Wow. And what time do these go on sale in the morning?
They will. So we're doing an internet pre-sale. It's going to be another first for us. So there was so much interest in these when we posted them up online that we kind of get a little worried because we don't want to disappoint people and have them coming down here and going, what do you mean I can't buy the cans? So we will internet pre-sale tomorrow morning. That starts at 9 a.m. until we're sold out. We do, you know, you just go onto our website, check it out. There's a button that says shop. Click it, and there is built-in limits into the website, so don't worry, you can't screw it up. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes.
I'm sorry to step on you, Kevin. I wasn't trying to step all over you. I was really curious because I want to buy some of these.
Oh, okay. No, absolutely not. I was just going to say for our listeners that are listening, this is recorded Friday night. We have released this on Saturday. So if you're listening to this now, it is available right now.
And that would be Saturday, June the 27th. Which is my actual official birthday.
There you go. You become an old man.
Yeah, this is officially June.
Over the hill.
Don't get too excited because they'll all be gone.
Yeah, you never know. It very well might. I mean, we're talking, we have 100 cans total.
Can you stash me a can?
Well, let's be clear. Yes, let's be clear, guys. The cans might be sold out, but you can go to Cedar Creek and they can have it on draft. They're pretty sure that they may get it on draft, right?
Well, no. So we were going to have it on draft. So that's how this will work. So we're doing internet pre-sale for the cans only. Mm-hmm. You can't. You will not be able to
ship me a pint.
I will ship you a pint. I'll ship you more than a pint, girl. But anyhow,
that slower.
Yeah. Hey. No. So what we're going to do though is that the only way for these micro tributary runs that we're going to be doing, that you'll be able to get them for take home, is in the cans. We are not doing growlers. We're not doing crawlers. We're not doing anything other than the tap room of, you want a pint? You can have a pint in the tap room. You want to take it home? You're buying a can. So it's to maximize that freshness, to maximize the storage capabilities of the beer, just because some of them aren't really going to do that well if you put it in a growler. Category 7 would do terrible in a growler. Mm. It would oxidize to just absolutely be a mess after a matter of about 2 days. It would look like brown water. There's no point to doing that. That's kind of an insult to the beer. Yeah.
So all the people that subscribe to the podcast, if you're listening, you may have a chance to go down there and get it and try it. For those that are listening to this like a week, 2 weeks later.
Yeah, you're done.
Sorry about that.
Well, and actually a week, 2 weeks later, so, and this is going to be part of a series. So Cat 7 may not be coming back for a while, but we'll probably be doing some other weird New England soon. I think I'm going to do a straight Citra Mosaic or a straight Citra based haze beer based on the same malt bill, based on the same technique, just to see what happens when I just, you know, what happens when you put 14 pounds worth of Citra into a 60-gallon beer tank. Should be exciting. Probably is going to taste like a bunch of grapefruit and orange and a hot hoppy mess initially, but hey, we'll find out what it turns into.
I will put that in my mouth.
Yeah,
you will. Well, you don't really, you're not too averse about what you put in your mouth.
He's not too discriminatory. But
that's
no.
a pretty open subject for you.
Holy shit.
All right.
So, but that being said, no, it's just kind of a neat, it's kind of a neat thing that we're going to be, and we're going to be doing this all summer, so. And as well, if there's stuff that we make normally that we don't have a preset can for that you want to see going into a can series, you can get a hold of us. We are, heck, you know, get a hold if you personally don't want to buy a case, reach out to your local liquor store and say, hey, I've tried this at Cedar Creek. I'd really like you guys to bring it in here. We'll send them a custom case.
They I recommend the red.
So the red is a part of our normal series. So that's good news. We have more of that in stock. That's the other things we'll have on stock in addition to Category 7 and the next beer we'll be drinking, which is our first of our milkshake series, which is our strawberry milkshake IPA.
And I'm calling it the ice cream series, by
you
the way.
You are calling whatever you want, boy.
Has that Hefeweizen gone on tap yet?
The Hefeweizen is almost gone already.
Is it?
But we got our next batch will already be coming out the following week.
Are you going to be canning that?
That is the other beer we're talking about. We're talking about doing a tributary run of that, so it'll be probably about seven cases of it, maybe.
Just set one of those cases aside.
All right. Yeah.
Because that Hefeweizen is fantastic.
Thank you.
Now, I know you mentioned the Adder having a pint beer. We might mention that a little bit down the line on the when we get to the segment Brews News. But we are at the 30-minute mark, so we're going to take a break for our sponsors. And after the break, we're going to dip into this milkshake, strawberry milkshake.
Ooh.
Sound good?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And here we go.
Commodity, a basic product traded on the open market. Something you'll never find inside these tin-covered walls. At Rusted Silo Southern Barbecue and Brewhouse, we only use the finest ingredients in everything we create. From locally crafted malt in our beer to choice Angus beef on our pit, we refuse to cut corners. Leave that for the other guys. Rusted Silo, the best little place with the biggest taste. Patience rewarded.
If you like what you're hearing so far, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe for our weekly craft beer adventures. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search OHHAP. That stands for Out Here Having a Pint. Also, you can follow us on our YouTube channel, Out Here Having a Pint. Would you like to support our show? Go to anchor.fm/OHHAP and click our support button. We'll give you a live shout out right on our podcast. Like to sponsor our show? Ask us a question or make a suggestion? Just email us at outherehavingapint@gmail.com. Craft beer nerds, this is Kevin from Out Here Having a Pint podcast. Join us bi-weekly as we discuss everything craft beer. We are out here having a pint. We are out here having a pint. Part of the On Draft Network. Now back to the show. Now back to the show. All right, we're back. Woohoo! All right, so now, as promised, Brandon, crack that can.
Ooh. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a
soft
fill.
Crack. I didn't hear it, but
that was dreadful.
I know you did it. Yeah.
That was dreadful.
Ooh, that is big.
Oh, dear. Look at that.
Yeah.
It's like syrup. Yeah.
So he's pouring it in these sample glasses for us.
That is thick.
It's very
That is thick with two C's right there.
Yeah. Viscous.
Now that's what I call milkshake.
Oh, that looks more like that looks more like hydraulic fluid than beer.
So it's a red. It's would you call that red? I don't know if you would call that. Yeah, pinkish.
It's a bit of a mauve, really.
Well, it's not quite purple enough.
I suppose. Yeah.
It's kind of.
You know what it looks like? It looks a bit like a prosthetic limb.
I can see that. Well, you know.
What?
I think we've traded glasses.
Yeah, you know. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers for that. All right. So let's go talk a little bit about this beer and the process, Brandon. Oh, I know how you created this bad boy.
So this is our new strawberry milkshake IPA.
Wow.
She thick.
She thick as fuck, yo.
She curvy.
Yeah,
yes, she is.
So the story behind this beer is that one of the popular styles right now, circa 2020, is the milkshake IPA. The milkshake IPA is you're going to take a very mild citrus-based pale ale. You are going to load it with a crap ton of lactose, bomb it with whatever fruit puree you can find. And then in our case, we decided to take about 14 Madagascar vanilla beans, scrape it, grind it, cut it, throw it in there, and make it a beer.
Bop it.
Twist it. Pull it.
Kelsey, was that what you was bopping? Was that what Kelsey was doing? Kelsey, when you were scraping those?
Kelsey was scraping and cutting those beans.
Oh, okay.
I contributed to this amazing beer.
I am not trash talking this beer by any means, but I have a legitimate question for this. Did you run this through a juicer? Because I feel like there should be kale in it. It is so thick. It is. I feel like I almost need a spoon for this. It is very pulpy. The flavor on it is fantastic, but it is very pulpy.
When we decided to go out there and make a milkshake beer, I got really kind of irritated by when someone sits there and they're like, oh, this is a milkshake. I'm like, this is a pale ale that you happen to add fruit to.
Bitch, please.
I mean, I'm like, if I want a milkshake beer, I want it to be a challenge to suck through a straw, all right?
I feel like
mission
it is.
Accomplished.
It's like a Wendy's Frosty when you first get one, you know?
You know, the only really bad part about these beers, besides the fact of, you know, you can choke on one from the thickness of it, is the fact of...
That's two jokes.
In one. The only other thing about them is that they are not stable. And what I mean by that is that, hey, we do our best to shut fermentation down before we fruit the crap out of these things. However, putting it in a can kind of makes a can grenade. So the key to this beer is you've got to keep this thing cold. And I will stress that to everyone who decides to buy one of them. I love this beer. It is great. It is pulpy. It is thick.
Yeah.
It is fruity as hell.
Yeah.
But holy crap, you need to keep it cold and drink it fresh. We put that on the label for a reason, because this thing will blow up as a can.
Pulpy, yes. Mm-hmm. Thick, yes. Mm-hmm. It is very flavorful. It is... It's very infinitely quite drinkable. But
I will say this. I can't even have a pint of this. FYI, I cannot have a whole pint of this. This is a great beer to bring along and to discuss with people and to just kind of discuss the current trends and themes within the industry. Trying to put down 16 ounces of this, best of luck to you, because that's a meal.
This is very much almost like a coffee table beer. It's something to discuss, not necessarily.
It's for a beer share.
Yeah, it's a beer share.
I feel like I could, but not consecutively. Like
you can pull a pint down?
Several
small sips.
Small servings intermixed with other things.
How's Cedar Creek serving it? Are they serving it?
We're serving
it
as full pints, man. We're gonna let people challenge it, you know. But out of all honesty, if you know, we also offer the half pint and things like that. I'm a big fan of the half pint. I think it's a great idea because sometimes one, you don't need a full pint of something, and two, sometimes with some of our higher ABV beers that we make, whole pint's not a good idea. With that in mind, I will let a fun dirty secret out, is that so we commented on our Facebook, so if people are listening to this, you probably want to be keyed in on this fact. We commented that we're going to be releasing something out of our cellar tomorrow on draft for the beer release. So we're definitely tapping in the remainder of our Darkest Achievement Coconut, which is our huge high ABV Russian that we've racked onto coconut when it was finalized. There is a grand total of maybe 3 gallons of this left in existence. And so for everybody who's coming down to the release tomorrow, we are going to be doing servings of that. It's going to be little 5-ounce servings, but it's probably one of my favorite beers we've made over the last 5 years. So,
And the ABV on that is?
Right around 20% alcohol.
Holy shit.
So, that is, yeah.
That is accurate.
Optimus Prime is right.
Yeah.
That is exactly what
Yeah, no, I mean, this thing will knock you on your teeth. But that's also why we only serve it in 5-ounce servings. But it's going to be extremely limited. We figure that, hey, with the kind of people who might be coming down to check out Category 7 and the milkshake beer, they might appreciate something very unique, random, and up to par. So we're going to get rid of it.
So what's the milkshake? What's the ABV on that one?
Milkshake's right around 5% alcohol. Okay. So
yeah. So
that's independently lab certified. We actually send everything out for lab testing.
Okay. And then, so Michael, you said you would not have a pint of that.
I wouldn't. I think it's a bit much for a whole pint.
Well, would you have a serving of it, though?
Absolutely, yeah. I would. Yeah, 100% without a doubt. It's extremely good to drink, but I feel like it's so much in one sitting that I couldn't do a pint.
Yeah, we got to clarify to the listeners. When we do say a pint, we're not necessarily...
Maybe we need to be out here having a pour.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we don't necessarily mean, you know, would you have a full pint, but we mean, would you have a serving
would
of
it? Would
you
go back for it? Served?
Yeah, would you go back for it? Sure. So for me, just like Mike said, pulpy, thick, thank God, because I'm tired of drinking milkshakes that have lactose in it, but it's very thin, and it's like... there's no flavor there. It's just put together.
They're basically trying to jump on the train in a clumsy way.
So this is pulpy. It's strawberry. You can taste the strawberry. It tastes delicious. I like it. Would I have full pint? No, of course not. But I would love it if it poured in 10 ounces. A 10-ounce pour would be perfect.
Yeah.
I would definitely have this, and I can't wait for more flavors because you are coming up with more flavors of this, right?
Yes, we are. We're going to be doing so. This will be a series that we're running at the start of summer at least. So we have 3 more runs of this coming out. This will be a fun one because we've not officially announced it anywhere else what the other flavors are. So we are going to be doing, it's papaya passion fruit. Ooh. We are doing a mango blackberry, and we are going to do an orange pineapple to close it out.
Ooh, orange pineapple. Yeah. Yes.
So kind of like a Dole Whip on the last one.
The passion fruit one sounds delicious.
Yeah. The passion fruit one is the one that's currently in process. So it'll be out in about another 2 weeks. But yeah, the goal is about every 3 weeks total, you'll see a new milkshake coming out from us.
Oh yeah.
I would definitely take a straight mango one too.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the impetus for the milkshakes? Why now? Why is it just because that's the thing right now? Or
item one, it's that we have the time at the moment. We have the time and a little bit of fermenter space. I'll be very upfront with pandemic. We had to play catch up. So we probably could have timed things a little bit better to be coming out with some random new beers that are kind of hype-ish. But at the same time, it's a great draw to pull new people to our brewery. We got kind of having issues with the pandemic where we lost some of our concert season, which is a huge part of our business. So we had to adapt. And some of that is truly new and unique beers. It's Category 7. It's milkshake. It's the Out Here Having a Pint beer that we're coming out with. It's we're returning to the creamsicle series, as we call them. So those will be coming out next week. Our first one will be the key lime creamsicle. So.
Ooh. Yeah,
I love
just
lime.
Made a very excited face.
Yep. Michael's getting excited over here. But yeah, I'm calling the milkshake the ice cream series, and that's why, because all these great flavors are coming out. So
now, and I call it sorbets, except that, you know, one of my favorite breweries already calls out the sorbet series, so can't do
this.
That to
this speaking of ice cream, this Category 7 mixed with some ice cream and turned into a legitimate milkshake would be top shelf, I think.
It could be really good, yeah. I was gonna say, yeah. I'm Cat 7, like I said, I'm really curious. In about 2 weeks in a can,
I really want to try it after it's aged.
Now, Brandon, I think you said you would have a serving of it.
Oh yeah, I'll have a. I'm really happy with how this. It's very pulpy, and that's something we're working on for upcoming batches. Is how do we handle that? You know, I don't mind it, but I know it might be off-putting to some people, but you definitely aren't questioning if we're using real fruit. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, no doubt.
There is definitely real fruit in this.
Sweet. Erica, would you have a serving or a pint?
I would definitely have a serving of it.
Sweet.
I really enjoyed it. The sweetness level, I think, is just about perfect because it's a fruit sweet. It's not just sugary.
Right.
It's not artificial sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, when we picked our puree provider, that was one of the big things was that we wanted it to taste like fresh strawberry, not the artificial saccharine strawberry.
Mm-hmm. And the mouthfeel is fantastic.
Kelsey, would you have a serving or a pint? What do you think? What do you think of that? Nope. Nothing? No serving, no pint.
I have a hard time with milkshake styles.
Okay.
What I will say that I enjoy about this one is that it is more natural than others that I've had. Mm-hmm. So the strawberry that you taste in it is very much like strawberry. I love strawberry, but that was just a little bit too much for me.
Too much strawberry?
Yep. Okay. Not to say that it's not good for someone else. It's just not... I really like...
As Erica's finishing off her pour. Erica's like, I'm going to put this on some biscuits. We call it a shortcake and be good.
And that's fine.
Honestly, it's thick enough you could spread it on
the biscuits. You could damn near use it on jam. It's a texture thing for me, I think.
Okay.
And that one has a little bit more texture because it's got like the natural ingredients in it, which is why I do enjoy this beer. Mm-hmm. Because most milkshakes we have taste a little bit more artificial. Right. This is very much natural. So... I wouldn't have a pint. That does not mean that it's not good for someone else.
All right. So that means four versus one. Oh, that's a hit. Yep, sure.
Way to ruin a perfect score, Kelsey.
Well, yeah. I am going to say that I'm looking forward to the other flavors.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Because I am not a huge fan of strawberry flavored things or things with strawberry in it. I just like to eat strawberries natural.
It is rare that you find a strawberry flavored thing that tastes like proper strawberries.
Right.
That doesn't taste like a damn fruit roll.
So like mango or pineapple or anything like that, I'm really looking forward to having.
All right, sweet. We get hit the 45 minute mark. So basically we have about 15 minutes left. So let's pour another beer and let's talk about some brews news.
This is not official news, Airman. As far as I'm concerned, it didn't happen.
Look. I report the news. That's what I do.
Well, do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
I'm putting you on the news, you dirty bastard! I'm putting you on the news, you dirty bastard! I'm putting you on the news!
All right, this segment is where we talk about Bruce News. So, Brandon, you mentioned out there having a pint beer. So, describe a little bit about that, what that is.
So, out here having a pint did a collaboration brewing with the Cedar Creek Brewing Company. Oh, man, he has got the sugar bomb. Yep,
yeah,
sorry.
Oh, yeah,
we just poured another beer.
Yeah, we poured another beer and he tried it.
And I'm pretty sure that we just might have killed Michael.
Mike has diabetes.
Thank you for putting my medical history out there. That's fantastic. You know, thank
great
you.
Job.
Because HIPAA's bullshit, right? No.
All right, but
So the Out Here Having a Pint beer. So what we did is it's the actual formal code name for the beer is Interspace, uppercase IN. And the reason is it's Indiana brewed. The malt came out of Sugar Creek Malt Co. And the hops out of 812 Hop Farms. And so it is a completely Indiana-based brew. We decided to have a bit of fun, and we did a black IPA. It is a very contested style, I'd say. People either really, really like it or they really, really hate it. Mm-hmm. And so as such... We brewed that a couple weeks ago, and you'll be hearing another podcast probably where we just go over review all of our trip and getting the malt and the hops and everything and the brew day, but we're looking at about 2 weeks, and this thing's going to hit the draft lines, kids.
Hell yeah. So. Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah, that's going to be a separate episode. We're talking about it. I will say we wanted to do a black IPA because Kelsey and I, we love IPAs, and we thought it would be awesome because since our we are called Out Here Having a Pint, and our icon is a spaceman, what better way to have like a, you know, spacey dark beer? Which is awesome. We will have video on that as well. So we did some video work, so look for that on our YouTube channel. All right, Brandon, any other news while we're – let's explain what the hell we're
trying to do. Okay, we're all trying not to laugh on microphone right now because everybody's reacting to this beer that I just cracked right before this. This is a tongue shaver, kids. So,
boy, it's a good thing I went to the dentist yesterday.
Now, I don't know. You're going to have to get your teeth grilled again.
Right.
So Energy City is another big brewery that I'm a fanatic of, another Illinois-based brewery. They're one of the ones in the hype smoothie game, a.k.a. 450 North, The Answer, Vale, Great Notion, etc. So they came out with a series that they call the Bistro Grandes, and they are a smoothie beer, which means it's a Berliner Weiss with a crap ton of fruit puree. And I'm not sure there's much Berliner Weiss in it, to be honest.
No, I don't taste any Berliner Weiss at all.
Not even remotely.
It's just kind of mildly carbonated puree.
I'm not. And the holy shit sound cue here just is not even beginning to come into this thing.
Right. Yeah.
So this is called Bistro Grande Mango Banana Pineapple. Legally, it's a beer. From a flavor profile perspective, this is definitely out here having a pour. And by a pour, I mean you need about 2 ounces to determine if you're going to like this thing or if you're going to hate this thing. Ooh. And it is not a beer in my mindset, and it's not meant as an insulting thing. It is just, holy crap, this is a smoothie that you drink in the morning for breakfast. Yep.
This is a carbonated alcoholic smoothie.
It's basically a mixed cocktail in a can.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is just a... Yeah. As far as, you know, not true brew.
No.
I have had some pretty decent beers from Energy City.
This is not one of them.
Proper, hear me out. Proper beers from Energy City. I've had several of their milkshakes, several different versions of their milkshakes. And by and large, every single one of them, it is roughly the same. It is extremely overly sweet.
Yeah.
And it's very thick. Mm-hmm. In a more or less good way. The texture is right, yeah. But it's just too sweet. Mm. And I get a little bit of the fruit flavor. I taste none of the Berliner Weiss. And it is just...
Banana.
Every time I've tried it, I've taken 3 swigs off of this little taster, and every time I turned into Popeye. Yeah.
It is just... Holy shit.
Energy City does make some very good beers. Unfortunately for me specifically, this is not one of them. I would not have much more than about a 2 ounce.
True. All right. So, and for me, I do like Energy City's peanut butter and jelly, which is great. I do like some of the smoothie series, but this particular one is, yes, overly sweet. I couldn't have a pint for sure. I couldn't even have a 10 ounce. I wouldn't even have an 8 ounce. I would have, we have,
you have 5 ounce, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. You're sitting at a 5 ounce right now, and I'm not sure you can put the whole thing back.
A little taster, and that's about it. I don't want anything more than that. And it's really, if Energy City would just back off a little bit on the sweet, I don't know how they would really do that because there's pineapple, there's all kinds of fruits.
And they have some really unique ones coming out, too. I mean, they've got, I think it's their next one is like a lime based one.
Mm.
So anytime they touch mango, though, it goes hardcore sweet. Just know that. Anytime Energy City starts playing with their mango,
if the lime leans more towards the sour side of lime, it might be pretty good.
Yeah, that's what the rumor is. So that's supposed to come out this weekend for them.
I mean, this shit's so sweet, my heart rate's like doubled just by drinking.
You are now a hummingbird. You just didn't know it yet, but we're all hovering here. Right. You can't see it, but we're actually no longer sitting in our chairs.
Yeah.
I was pre-diabetic. I'm no longer pre-diabetic.
Pre has been dropped.
I'm now full diabetic.
Yeah.
Just from having smelled this beer. It's properly sweet.
But what's amazing about them is their process controls and everything that they do. So one of the big things we've talked about it before is how do you deal with puree beers and ABV? What is shocking is for as sweet a beer as this is,
it's 8.2%.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Optimus Prime is right again.
This will mess you up and you won't even know it.
And that's the thing.
Like blue juice or whatever that stuff was.
So that's the thing about their bistros is that they are over the top. You'd have no idea in the ABV on these things. I've almost said about this particular one, I've had a few of these, that I would cut it with liquor, like vodka, and make a mixed drink out of it.
That's a screwdriver waiting to happen.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mix it with some vanilla vodka.
Oh, yeah. Sort it out. That's properly sorted. Yeah. Right. I kind of want to try that now.
Brandon, would you have a pint, a serving?
What? Oh, hell no. I ain't having a pint of this. I will definitely have a serving pour of it. And I'm not even a huge mango person. I'm really not. But I do enjoy it just because it is something so completely different. The only thing I would say that's a little off putting on it is that it is a banana one. I just don't like banana in my beer. I mean, short of a Hefeweizen,
The only way you can have it because banana is so hard to get right.
Yeah, I don't like it to taste like runts. Sorry. Yeah. No. Yeah. And I mean, this doesn't.
Banana runs were always the best, though.
You know, I will say, though, this, that's another debate, man.
I just want to say that it sounds like you're saying banana runs and that sounds disgusting.
Banana runs. The funny part is we got a good buddy of ours.
It got a stem on it?
we got a good buddy of ours who actually grew a wonderful Hefeweizen that one of the batches was nicknamed the Banana Runs.
It was a really good Hefeweizen.
So yeah. That's even more comical about it. But no, the banana flavor in beer, it's just, in Hefeweizen, great, as long as it tastes appropriate. This thing, this tastes like someone sent something off to Java Juice, or Jamba Juice, and then just added a little bit of vodka on the back end. And it was like, oh, what do you do? Well, I threw a mango in here, and I've got a pineapple and a banana.
I just wish I could taste more of the fruit than itself more of the Hefeweizen, because all I'm getting is sweet.
Yeah, I mean, this is a sugar bomb, but it's an 8% sugar bomb. So for all the kiddies who liked the old school 450 North when you were lying to yourself, then this will get the job done. I mean,
tell us how you really feel. Fatality.
Finish him.
No, I mean, this is, and they've even come a long way. 450 does independent lab testing, blah, 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 blah. But still, they've come a long way. Some of their stuff is coming up quite nicely in ABV. They're doing a lot of job. They're really working to make sure that their process is checked, truth be told.
Yeah, they are.
All right. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say. But on that note, good beer. I mean, again, definitely not going anywhere near a pint. 5 ounces, sure.
Yeah.
All right. Erica, how do you feel about that beer?
I would definitely have a 5 ounce pour. I like it in very small amounts.
As we are all.
Much like her husband. That's me.
Wait, she likes you in small amounts?
That's the only amount gets. That's the only amount she gets. Sorry.
Oh, I like you in large amounts.
I fatalityed myself.
You did.
Kano.
Yeah.
Finish.
So, okay, but yeah. Kelsey, what's...
Yeah, Kelsey, how do you feel about the beer? What do you think?
So my theory is that it's such a high ABV because it has to feed all the little fuckers it just planted on your teeth.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Holy like shit.
Immediate shit, sweater shit to the teeth. And then it's like all these little beings it has to feed. Mm-hmm.
I will say that it does coat the mouth quite quickly. Yeah. It is so thick. Yeah.
Beer be thick, yo.
Be thick, son.
I would not be able to have a pint of this, but this very much does remind me of like a breakfast cocktail. Yeah.
But would you have a serving of it at least?
A very tiny one.
Okay.
Ooh, with
champagne.
Yes.
Yeah. That's true.
Champagne,
yes,
for your campaign?
Mimosas? Yes.
Oh, yeah. This would be a good mimosa mixer. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's already, what, it's okay. eight something percent. Yeah.
So I think we
mixed with some champagne.
I think we all said that it's not a bad beer. We just wouldn't have a lot of it. So I think that's still
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it is
it's just not
what there is a flavor once you get past the sweetness is sure quite good, but that sweetness just overpowers it too much.
Gotcha.
See, I definitely get the mango out of it.
I mean, I barely get it. I don't think of beer.
But I think we're all in agreement that there is no Berliner Weiss whatsoever.
Oh, no. That's silly.
Well, I think we're out of beers, guys. So, yes, with that said, thanks for hanging out with us. Mike, happy damn birthday to you, my man.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks to you and Kelsey for throwing a fantastic birthday party for me. It was wonderful.
Yeah, no problem. Brandon, any last words?
I was going to say, I hope to see it. And it last words. What are you going to do to me?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's all you get.
No. No, but in all honesty.
Today's birthday. Tomorrow's the funeral.
Exactly. Birthday today, the funeral. No, out of all honesty, we're hoping to see everybody out at Cedar Creek tomorrow. Can release should be a good time. Come out, see us, have some fun. You know, I'll be behind the bar all day, so I'll say hi.
All right. So after, when we say cheers, after every episode, we raise our glasses and we say, cheers, you little craft beer nerds.